Thank you, Ken, for leading us in a time of worship as we would pray to our God. So, good morning once again. Let me get my notes straightened away here, the things I got on up here. And let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Let's grab our outlines out. Romans chapter 1. We, with all that's been said in the service today, we are well aware of our passage in Romans 1, verses 8 through 15. That our passage there is about mature spiritual service. We've been talking about it all day today, or all service today. What we're looking at in this text is the life of the Apostle Paul. I'll give you a moment there to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 15 to get your outlines out. But what we're looking at here in the text is the life of the Apostle Paul as an example of mature worship to God. How it fleshes out in the life of a human being, that's what we're looking at. Last week, as you saw in verse 9, as we were looking at this, Paul said, God, whom I serve in my spirit. We saw that he was saying that he lives the way he lives and lives the way he does as his service of worship to God from the new life that he has in Christ. It's very relational. We all know that. You know, that's growing in our life. That's happening more in our life. But we all really know that it's a very relational thing to walk with the Lord, to have this new life in Christ. And for us to mature and grow and become more Christ-like is a very relational thing, and it should be. It says God deepens our relationship with God. It is a maturing and growth that is happening. The more you learn and understand the truths of God's Word, the more intimate your relationship with God becomes. You start seeing who He is, who you are, and how it all of these truths of God, principles of God, the things that we live for, coming about in life, just like that was shared today, and you see those things going on, always having questions, always needing to grow, but you see the truth of God's Word being lived out or applying to your life, and then you recognize as you go along your dependence upon Him. It's very relational. You kind of learn that and grow in that, how we're dependent upon God to guide and lead and show us and teach us and encourage us through His Word, by His Spirit, for us to see what's going on in our life and what God is doing. That's the Apostle Paul. We looked at this last week. He was taught by Christ, God's truth. He is asked by God to live them out in very difficult circumstances, and he was able to do so by Christ's strength, Philippians 4. We looked at that. Paul is tremendously dependent upon the Lord. He's intimacy with the Lord. He talks about it all the time. So what we did last week in our message, we established that the Apostle Paul is a mature believer in Christ, right? Amen? Okay, but he is, and so we establish that, we know that, so as we look upon what he tells us about himself in the text, we look at his thoughts, his desires, his goals, the way and the what he lives for, we see the aspects or marks of a mature believer in Christ, and that's what we're looking at. Here's God's Word, Paul writing, sharing about himself, and we see these marks or aspects of a mature believer in Christ, or mature spiritual service to God. So let's read our passage, and I want us to, with that on our mind, listen to the maturity as we go along here. Look at verse 8 through 15, Paul writing to the church at Rome. Verse 8 says, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole earth, whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of His Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I had planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. You heard his life, right? I mean, as you just read that and you let that dwell on you, you hear him talking about himself and you hear this maturity, this very mature person of God, believer in Christ, sharing about what's going on in his heart and mind, what he's doing. You just hear that. So first, the last week, we noticed that out of verse 8, the first mark of mature spiritual service, this is just review, is a thankful spirit. It's a heart of gratitude. Yes, Paul was grateful for the blessings of God. He was grateful for the outcomes in his life. He was grateful for the help and the guidance that God gives and from the resources that God supplies. But maturity, as you grow in your faith and as you mature in your walk with the Lord, maturity brings a gratitude for faith, your own, and for that in other people's lives. Faith to believe in Christ, faith to follow God's word, faith with fortitude to trust and believe in God in all circumstances. Think about it. That's the heart of gratitude, isn't it? As you live in this life and then you go through some tough things or some things are there or whatever it might be, and you're believing and you're trusting in God, even though maybe it doesn't look like I can or would or I'm doubting or whatever that might be. And as you walk in that and you recognize you're believing in him, and then as it goes, your faith in God grows, you mature in your walk with the Lord. That's the process of sanctification that's taking on. That's always going on. And Paul is grateful that that's happening. He's thankful for that kind of faith in the lives of others. As Paul initially kind of hinted at in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, he said, a mature believer is overwhelmed with gratitude for God's saving and continued sanctifying work in their lives and that it's going on in the lives of others. What parent isn't grateful that God's at work in the life of their kid? Amen? What husband isn't thankful that God is at work in the life of a wife or a wife to husband? The heart of gratitude to see that God has given you a belief and trust in him and that you can depend upon him and his word, and as you walk in this life and mature, it becomes more and more of your life, and you're just the heart of gratitude that this is how God has done it. And I'm just thankful that this is going on in my life and the life of others. And we all recognized last week that sometimes that work of God taking place isn't pretty, is it? It's through difficulty, it's through trials, it's through struggles, it's through sin, and it's through rebellion. Has been in my life. How about yours? God matured you through your rebellious heart? Wasn't pretty, was it? Right? You had to repent of some of the thoughts and actions that you did or the things that you did, right? You had to repent. Repentance is growth, isn't it? Help me, church. Isn't repenting a growth, a maturing in the Lord? Right? We've got to repent all the time, right? We've got to turn, go a different way. Right? That's maturity. It's not sometimes not pretty because the repentance is from things that it's like, wow, look what I was thinking or what I did or those kind of things. God, help me lead. And then thankful God is. Let me remind you of what he said about the church at Corinth. Now, we went through 1st, 2nd Corinthians, but let me remind you what Paul said about them in his opening letter. You remember they're very difficult, right? Right? The California church is what, there's my brother Bob. He's the one that told me that. That's what they call it. It's First California and Second. Anyway, they were very difficult, but this is what he wrote. He wrote to them and he said, 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. See, because when we start connecting the dots, when we start understanding God's word, when it starts happening, the gratitude comes thankful is the grace of God given to me in Christ Jesus. The grace of God given you in Christ Jesus, the grace, the unmerited favor could never earn for God to show us Christ and to grow us in a Christ-like life. It's a grace. It's a grace of God. It's a mercy. We're not receiving what we deserve. We're getting an unmerited favor of God poured upon out our lives, and gratitude comes up. So we looked at all that last week. In Paul's maturity, his gratitude flowed from an understanding of the truth of that grace. So does ours. Secondly, we looked at last week, is that mature service to God is a committed spirit. So we have, first one is a thankful spirit, now we have a committed spirit. Again, review. That's the focus on verse 9. It says, for God whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of the Son. Not just committed to do some things for God. That's not what he's talking about here. We looked deep into this verse, into what it was talking about. He's not just committed to serve him in some area or ministry, but committed to do all things from the new life that was given him in Christ as an act of worship to God. We saw that in Romans 12:1. Let's look at that one more time. I don't think we could talk about this enough. Because as God grows our lives, Romans 12:1, let's look at that verse. And as we mature in our relationship with the Lord, what happens in our life is it becomes more of an act of worship to the Lord. That's what happens in our lives. And that's what Paul is talking about. The commitment to just offer up your life to the Lord in all that it is and all that it does for him. Now remember, what we looked at this last week. This is about a committed spirit. Listen to Paul's words in Romans 12:1. Just verse 1. He says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Let's just stop there. Everything, including your salvation and your faith and God's continued work in your life, is a grace and a mercy. Really? Even when Elder Ken prayed today about all that, we would never want any of that to happen. Northern California fires, people lose their lives. But in the midst of all, the grace and mercy of God is at work in people's lives, bringing many to salvation. The Christians there ready to share the hope of Christ? Yes, the temporal thing here is gone. Yes, life is temporal. Things are going to happen. Compassion, love, care, listening. Let me share with you the hope of Christ. Let me share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me share with you how God has given me more of a heart of compassion for others. So by the mercy of God, by his grace, look at the text. Paul urges us, by God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Did you hear what he said? Give your whole life, all of that you are, all that you do, all of your actions, all your attitudes, all your desires. And we looked at that, which is your reasonable service of worship. That's what he's talking about. It's reasonable in the human mind for what God has done for us in our salvation, in the grace and mercy that we have received. See, that's maturity, isn't it? That's growth. That's walking with the Lord to understand that all that we have and all that God has given us and all the work that's happening in our heart and mind is by grace and mercy of a good God to come down and make a way for us to be reconciled with him and have a relationship with him and live here on this earth representing him, but have life eternally in the new heaven and earth that awaits. I offer all that I do, all my time, talent, treasure to the Lord. That's what he says. It's a committed spirit. Why? Because what God has done in our salvation, maturity brings a committed spirit. That's what we looked at last week. Absolutely does. And that's what God's at work in all of our lives. Now let's dig into a few more. Okay, we'll probably look at three today, and then next week we'll finish it up. But let's dig into a little bit more. What are other marks or aspects of this mature spiritual service that we're looking at Paul's life in? Number three we see in this life of Paul is a concerned spirit. Look at verse 9 and 10. Listen to his words as he writes about himself. Listen to what he has to say. This is God's word. Paul writes, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you." Look, he says this, hey, God is my witness to my concern for you. And Paul doesn't even know these people. Most likely hadn't even met any of them. But he says, hey, God's my witness. God knows my concern for you, to be honest, to be true, to be real. I pray for you. I care for you. I want to minister to you. Listen, these are not just words of Paul in the Bible, okay? These are divine words of God. This is the divine word of God speaking about a man and what is really, truly on his heart, on his mind, on his soul, and what he's concerned for. He says, I'm concerned for you guys. I want to get there. I want to come. I'm waiting for the will of God. I'm praying for you. See, that's maturity, isn't it? To have a concerned spirit for others, to have a concerned spirit for what God wants to do. You see, these are his words of action, and God wouldn't have had to put them in the Bible if they not were not his own actions. You get what I'm saying? They wouldn't be in the Word of God if this wasn't truly Paul's heart and truly who he is. And in Paul's maturity, he has a concerned spirit for others' walk with Christ and God's plan for them. I want you to listen to it again and listen for the concern, but I'm going to read it to verse 12. Listen to what it says. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness unto how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, or perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. He's concerned, isn't he? He exudes it. It's maturity. We're concerned for others. That's what a mature brother in Christ, sister in Christ is. He's concerned primarily with what God's will is and what God desires to do in other people's lives through the service of Paul. And mark that down. That's maturity. That's what a concerned spirit is. to see that in life, that our concern is to what's the will of God? What does God want to do? What does he want to do in the lives of others as he would use me in that? That's my concern. That's a primary concern of mine. That's maturity. Mark that down. I bet you guys can tell us what our tendency normally is. What's our tendency? Nobody brave enough to call it out, right? Our tendency is to see the negative or faults or others or compare ourselves to others or become complaining or critical or judgmental on how others live. That affects me or bothers me. I'm going to raise my hand. That's me. How about you? That's the one God's maturing me in. How about you? Right? It's like, oh, you know, I mean, my brother Bob's here, so right, you know, he's my golf partner, so. You know, I remember playing golf, and the people in front of us are kind of slow and not doing well, and they're just kind of all over the course, and this happened more than once. And we're there, and we're complaining. God's allowing us to be out on a golf course, enjoy the golf, that kind of thing, and we're complaining, and we're judging them. Look, they don't know how to play. Look at them, man. They're all over the place. They don't know. They're supposed to let us through. I'm so tired of people that don't know the rules of golf. And you guys know I was speaking about Bob, right? No, my brother knows I was speaking about me. That's our tendency. Mature spiritual service sees God's desire for ourselves to change and grow and to serve others, to have a primary concern for their salvation and spiritual growth, for God's glory. And it requires your time, talent, and treasure with patience. It just does. It requires a lot. It requires your relationship with God to be there, and it requires to give a lot of it. Hey, any parent knows this, right? Parents, right? You guys know this, right? Take a lot to mature your kids. It's not even funny, is it? Right? Any mature parent knows this, that if you're concerned for your children's just maturity as a person, can you quit picking your nose? Can you quit, you know, we just don't do that at the dinner table. You know, right? I mean, right? I mean, come on, just the maturity of life, right? What are we doing here? You know, that kind of thing. And just, can you just not be a child? You know, that kind of thing. But include their growth in their relationship with the Lord, it requires a lot. Guess what? So, same thing in a church family. Right? Just not at home, it's with the church family, it's with unbelievers. A mature spiritual service to God is concerned spirit for others that gives, that prays, that labors, that listens, that helps, that disciples, that encourages, even corrects others in seeking their growth. It's just exuding out of Paul. I mean, it's not like this is the only people he has concern for. He's got a bunch of them. Right? And listen, a concerned spirit in the body of Christ is we're concerned for each other. Yes, I know that you have a marriage and you have a home and you have your kids. Yes, you need to be concerned for them and you need to be doing that. And I want to help you and encourage you and we want to teach God's word. But you have a family of God that you belong to too, and God wants you to be a part of that and being concerned and growing in that. And then he has a loss that God has brought into your life that he wants you to concern for. And it becomes like, wow, now I see. I just got to lay it all up on the altar, right, Lord? Because it is, you want all of me for your purposes. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, listen to this. Moms, this is a great verse. My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Moms, is that true? Amen. You birth them once, you got to in labor to birth them again, don't you? That's a great verse for that. Because your job wasn't done by just bringing them into the world. It just kind of began, right? Right? My children with whom I'm again in labor. It can feel like total birthing labor till Christ is formed in you. I think that's truly true. To the church at Colossae, Paul wrote in Colossians 1:28, 29, listen to this, don't turn there. He wrote, we proclaim him. We, that includes us, okay? Living Word Fellowship. We proclaim him, Jesus Christ, admonishing every person and teaching every person with all wisdom so that we may present every person complete are mature in Christ. That's our concern here. Is that our concern here, church? Come on, you guys. Is that our concern here as a body of Christ? Is it that we would just do whatever God, we want to proclaim Jesus and the truth of him and what he did in our life and how he's transformed us and how he wants to minister to us and what he's given us in this new life? We might have to admonish lovingly, come aside somebody and say, that's not how God wants that to go. It's admonishment. It's okay. I need admonished. You do. We all need to come alongside lovingly and say, hey, it's this way. And we need to teach every person with all wisdom, the wisdom of God, not philosophy or anything like that, the wisdom of God, so that we may present every person complete or mature in Christ. Who are we going to present them to? God, right? That's our concern. It's growing, it's maturing, it's all that it is, but it's our concern. Then he said this, "For this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me." You know what that means? If you, in your life, have an honest concern for maturing of others and yourself, if you strive for that, God's power will work in your life to do so. Well, that's incredible, isn't it? I want to get involved in that, right? Because I want God's power involved in my life. If I'll strive for God to grow me, mature me, that I'll, as it says at the beginning of the verse, that I'll be mature in Christ. If I'll strive for that in God's word, let God talk to me, applying it to my life. It says God's power is active in my life, bringing that to pass in my life. If I'll strive toward that in the life of other people and give and pray and serve and love and care about in other people's lives and strive for the maturity to come in other people's lives, God's power will be involved in that. Church, that's what we're about. That's what God wants us to be about. Yes, there's full, rich life in the life that we have here, and there's a lot of things that are going on, but this is going on all the time in the midst of everything that we are involved in. And as we mature in that, we have a concerned spirit for that happening in the lives of believers and the lives of us. The church of Thessalonica, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12, he said, "To this end we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you." And that's maturity. To desire to be used by God for that to be brought about in the life and the lives of people. That's what we're looking at. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we kind of focused here and stopped here and kind of went slower right here. Because this is important for us to see. It's all through the scriptures. It's what God's doing. It's Romans 8, 28, 29. For those he called, those he predestined, he purposed us to be conformed to the image of Christ. I mean, you're not going to stop God and what God has declared he's going to do. I just kind of want to embrace what he's doing. You know, and get on board with what he's doing. It's a concerned spirit for the salvation and sanctification of others and myself. And I wrote some really cool things there. Even if those others are a pain in the neck, even if they affect your daily life, even if they're hard. You know why? Because God is the one at work in it all, and he placed them, Ken, in your life. By God's divine providence, the people that are in your life are from God. By his divine providence. Same with you. The people in your church are by God's work, the people in your community, your neighbors, your friends, the people that you meet at your job, your own kids. We want to be concerned for this and for the people around us because that's who God placed in your life to use you to minister to them. Maturity is concerned for that. Now, before we get into the fourth mark, let me remind you that from wherever you're at in all of this, okay? Wherever you're at. Wherever you are in a mature spiritual service to God, up, down, this way, there, whatever. I know God's going to minister to our hearts. Holy Spirit brings conviction. I know all those things through the truth of God's word. But let me tell you something. God clearly knows where you're at. This isn't a Facebook account. It's not. God knows exactly where you're at, where you're at, where your walk with him, what you're concerned for, what you got going on, all of that kind of stuff. God knows. You guys agree with me on that? He knows. And let me tell you, God's only desire is to move you forward. That's it. He wants to use you in the kingdom of God. He knows where you're at. He knows what you struggle with. He knows your maturity level. He knows everything there and all of that. And all he wants to do is move you forward in his relationship with you. And how it goes forward is up between you and him. There's no chart that we can say, look, the graph's going up. There's none of that. There's just God and you. And him bringing maturity and growth into your life, into your relationships, into what you're doing. It's just him and him at work to move forward. He is with you. He was always for you. right? He's a perfect father. I want to be like him as a dad and a grandpa. I want to be for the people that God has in my life, in truth, in love, all of that. But I want God to use me to help them move forward. Your response, my response, is a willing and submissive spirit. Isn't it? Really, that's what it is, right? And God's still at work at that. To mature and grow, I want to be willing and submissive. And we see that as the next part, mark of Paul at the end of verse 10. Look at it with me in Romans 1:10. Look at what God said right here. Look at what Paul, when he's saying about himself, he said this, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. You know, as I dug into that, that's pretty incredible. Paul desired to go to Rome. He tried to go to Rome. He made plans to go to Rome. He made decisions based on getting to Rome. He wanted to see these people. He wanted to hang out with these people. He wanted to be there. Ultimately, he gets to go there when he's arrested and put in jail, and then they let him out a little while, and then they arrest him again, put him in Rome, and then he's killed. He always wanted to go. He wanted to get there, made plans, always willing to do what God desired for him to do, do what God purposed for him to do, to preach the gospel, evangelize. He wants to get to Rome, but Paul also submitted and was submissive to God's will. That takes maturity. It takes maturity to just rely on God. I want to do this. I want to do this. This is what I want to do. I want to do it. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a thing, God thing. I want to do that, but we're not asking God if that's God's thing, if that's God's will in going on all that. You guys know all the scriptures in James and all of the different ones about that. Because we're not kind of used to that. Either we are willing and then just do it, not allowing God's will to be revealed to us, or we wait forever for God's will to be revealed to us because I'm not willing. Am I preaching myself? That's what we work through. Or we just doubt that it's God's will because it may cost us something. Where's Samantha? You ever have that? You look at what the cost is to where you're going to go. It's not a friendly place. You know, I think your eyes give you away there, right? You know, and I know your heart, and I know you and your commitment and all that kind of stuff, but sometimes you doubt, right? Is this God's will? Because this, you know, ask mom and dad. Lynn probably should have asked you better, right? You know, on that. That's just reality. That's just life as a human being and the things that we live through and that we got to go through, and it's like, oh, you know, all that kind of stuff. But see, maturity, you know what it does? It gives you a willing and submissive spirit. That's what it does. That's what maturity brings. I know a lot of you, and you went here, and you've been there, and you ministered there, and some more are going. We're excited about going to Oaxaca. I got some people over here. They're woo-hoo, all of that kind of thing. And I know some of my family that's been to Africa and Haiti and all those kind of things. And just knowing God wants me to go. God wants me to go, even though it might be difficult, you know. And my oldest daughter went somewhere, and she rode around alone and freaked her dad out and all that kind of stuff. Maturity brings a willingness and a submissive spirit to God's will, right? You see it in Paul. Well, this is what God wants to do. I want to be willing. You know, Paul and the disciples were told, listen to this story in Acts 21 by a prophet named Agabus, that God had shown this prophet that when Paul went to Jerusalem, they were going to bind him and they were going to make him a prisoner, deliver him to the Gentiles, he would be on trial for his life. They said, you know, the prophet told Paul. And the text says his disciples, as well as the local residents, began to beg Paul not to go. Well, I know, you know, any family member that I have, and they, you know, God kind of prompts my heart to see that, yeah, you're going to go there. They're going to arrest you. It's not going to go good for you. I might beg him not to go too, and that kind of thing. And so the disciples and the people in the town, the residents that knew him, they beg him to go. Listen to what Paul says. Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? What are you doing? You guys are crying and you're breaking my heart. You're all begging me not to go, for I'm ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say that? I read that and said, wow, I want to be willing. I want to have a submissive spirit to the Lord. Am I ready to give up all of my life and maybe into death for the name of Christ? He hasn't called me to that and called you to that, but that does happen. Paul is saying, I'm willing and subservient to God's will, and if I'm going to be bound, I'm going to be dying, whatever the Lord wills. Verse 14 says this, and since he would not be persuaded, they all fell silent, and then they said, remarkably, the will of the Lord be done. That's what they said. A mature heart gets you there. I'm trying to get there. Let me show you one more thing about just a willing and submissive heart. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 1, 9 through 11. So why have a willing and submissive heart to God and His will and what He desires? Turn to Colossians with me. And we're going to do good on time today. Colossians 1, looking at 9 through 12. Here Paul's writing to the church of Colossae, and he's here's why. Why to have a willing and submissive spirit to God's will? Reading from verse 9, Paul writes, "For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it," that's true faith in Christ, believing faith, trusting faith, God at work in their life. So you guys are Christians, believers in Christ. Since we know, since we've heard of it, he says, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So here's what Paul says. Since you came to faith in Christ, we're praying for you that you would be filled, you would be dominated, controlled. That's what the word filled means there. Filled, dominated, controlled by the knowledge of what God wants to do, His will, and spiritual wisdom and spiritual insight. That's what it's saying. You know what God wants for you guys? For you guys to be overwhelmed in your life with the knowledge of what God wants to do in your life with spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's what God wants in all of our lives. And we pray and we ask for God to show it to us. Right? Look at why, verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. If it isn't about God's will, in the spiritual wisdom and insight into this life that God has you here, purposed you here, planned you here for, if it isn't about following Him and what He has for you in this life, it's not walking in a manner worthy. We want to know what God wants us to do and how to live in this life and everything and all that we do so we will walk in a manner worthy. Listen to what it says next. To please Him, that's Christ in all respects. I want to please Christ. Bearing fruit in every good work. I want God to bear fruit. And increasing in the knowledge of God. That's increasing in the intimate knowing of the Lord God Himself. Personal relationship with God. Strengthened with all power. That's His. According to His glorious might. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. You think it's important that we submit to God's will? And we willingly just want to do what God wants us to do. Now, we don't know everything, and it's not about every. Oh, all right, let's submit. Where's lunch today? Where are we going to go to lunch? What's God's will to go to lunch? Okay, the will of God is to take Pastor Ken to lunch. Okay, you want to walk in a manner worthy, right? That's not what we're talking about, okay, right? Right? It's not about that. It's not about, okay. But, you know, it is about your life and saying, you know, Lord, what is your will here? What is your desire? Give me spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I mean, think about a job. Should I take this job and go to this job? I mean, is it true that God would know He has planned and purpose for you and He'd have someone He want you to minister to there or not? And He said, well, I kind of have you over here. I mean, you think God just like, oh, do whatever you want to do and then I'll just join you? It's not really like that, right? We all know that. See, this is important. It's remarkable that you and your relationship with the Lord, when you understand His will for your life, and it's not hard to find, God gives you insight into what He's going to do. He bears fruit. He works in your life. He brings maturity, intimacy, and steadfastness. That's remarkable, but that's what God does. Last one, and we're just going to mention it. We're going to mention one more, and then see, I get next week. I get to pick it up. And Well, I don't want to promise that I'll finish next week, but I desire to because I want to get into, I believe it's God's will, spiritual wisdom, finish next week and then get into what we're next. So mature spiritual service to God is a thankful spirit for the grace of faith. It's a committed spirit to live a life as an offering to God in worship because of that grace of faith. It's a concerned spirit for others and yourself to grow in faith, to grow in your walk with the Lord, because that's what God is doing. It's a willing and submissive spirit to God's will for your life, whatever it may entail, because that brings you into the place where everything is pleasing God and His growth, and God is empowering. Fifth one, just mentioned it today, the mark that we see in Paul's life back to Romans. Fifth one, mature spiritual service to God is a loving spirit. Look at verse 11. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. The word long there is longing to see you. You know, you long to see your kids. I mean, I talk to the parents that are here that their kids have moved away and they're coming to visit, or we're going to go visit, we're going to go see the grandchildren. That's the idea here. You guys can connect it in your mind. Man, I just long to go. It's love. It's a loving spirit. It's just longing to be involved in the church. It's just longing, loving to be involved in people's lives. It's just longing and loving to be want to be available to what he says here. So I can, so you may attain a spiritual gift from him is what it's saying, and that you may be established. Let me help you with that, and then I'll finish with this. He says, so I may impart some spiritual gift to you. He's not talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those come from by the Holy Spirit. Paul doesn't impart them, the Holy Spirit does. What he's saying, I want to get there so I can use the ones that God has given me so I may help you be strengthened and established. That's a loving spirit. Look at the front of your bulletin. We're going to close with this. What's it say in the front of your bulletin? Here's Paul talking to the church in Philippi. I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is the loving spirit, the affection of Christ Jesus. What's the affection of Christ Jesus, guys? Okay, he gave his life on the cross. He lived a sinless life. He submitted to the Father's will. He went to the cross, died on the cross, paid the penalty of our sin. Made the atonement so that atonement can be transferred to us. Was raised to new life so we could have new life. Being quick, I don't mean to be quick and not respectful to that. But what is the affection of Christ? Why did Christ do it? What's the affection in it? He didn't want to look at you and see you in your broken relationship and sin destroying your life. That's the affection. He looked at humanity. God the Father said, this is what we're going to do. He's going to submit to them. And in the affection of Christ, he looked upon the world and he saw sin's destruction. And he saw the broken relationships that people have and with God. And in his affection, he laid his life down. His affection isn't that he's in love with you. His affection is that he was broken by you because of where you were at in this world. That's the loving spirit God wants us to have with each other and with the world. That's the maturity that God brings, is that we have the Christ affection, that we look in the world and you look at what's going on in our world, and I don't know about you, but with me and what's going on in my heart and what God's doing, it's like, wow, I just want to weep. These poor people don't even know. They don't even understand. Yeah, they'll argue with what's biblical truth. Yes, they'll argue with what's really going on. Yes, they'll promote that we need to be all of these things, and I don't even want to name them all because it's not them that are the problem. It's that their broken relationship with Christ, and sin is going to destroy everything. I mean, it's just going to get bad. We're going to get into Romans 1, 18 through 30. I want to love them with the affection of Christ, and I want to do all that God would have me do to rescue them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's maturity. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for today and for your Spirit ministering to us, and even the words that I use, Lord, they're from you and encouraging us, and even my heartfelt exhortation about that, Lord. I fall so short sometimes in not wanting to even have affection for other people. Little on the Christ affection. But I know by the power of God, if I'll be willing, and if I'll just offer it up and say, Lord, you deal with me, you change me, you grow me. Maturity will come, and that will become my heart. That's become who I want. When I will have a loving spirit the way that God wants me to have it. Not for me, myself, and my own, but for who God wants me to love. So we thank you for your word today to minister to us and your Spirit to guide and lead us, and for the opportunity we got to worship, and help us to be people of compassion and place that heart of compassion on, and kindness and gentleness with a forgiving spirit, like Paul says in Colossians 3. And to put on love, agape love, the love of God by choice to act on other people's behalf. Make us like our Lord is what we cry for. And in his name we pray, amen. We are dismissed for this morning. Good to see you guys.